Good morning, everyone. Man, good morning. It's good to see your bright, shiny faces in the middle of all the challenges we're having this day and age, right? It's kind of crazy out there. I just want to thank you for allowing me to be here today. I want to thank Pastor Chris, has been a good friend of mine for ever since we were teenage years. All the stories he's told you, I have the real ones, okay? So, anyway, but he's a great man of God. He's grown so much in the last many years that I've seen him and talked to him. But he's still the same cool dude that he's always been. And he calls me dude every time he sees me, and I love that. He's probably called y'all dude a few times too. But let's pray before we get going this morning. Father, we love you so much, and we are just honored to be here today. God, thank you for allowing us to be a light in this world. Thank you for allowing us to be in church today, to just be able to fellowship with each other and gain love and respect for each other again, and just to be able to talk. Father, thank you for Jesus and all he does for us. I'm so thankful for Brother Chris and the ministry that he and these people have at this great church called Grace. And we know that you see them. We know that you touch them every day. We know that you use them in a mighty way. And Father, today I pray that as we talk about your word, that God, your word would go out to our hearts and you would change us in some way. Father, we thank you again for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Oh, excuse me. Hello? How you doing? John, what are you doing? What are you calling me right now for, man? I'm right in the middle of something really important. I'll call you a little bit later, okay? All right, just text me and we'll talk about it a little bit later. All right? Okay. Thanks, buddy. Bye-bye. Distractions. Don't you love them? I'll tell you what, distractions make our day sometime, don't they? You know, even right now, we think this is a vital part of our lives, isn't it? We think about this just for a minute. It's a vital part of our lives. I don't know how many times I look around and go, where's my phone, right? And I start sweating for some reason. I don't know what it is, but it's distraction. It's distracting me from the things that are really important in life. And I'm going to ask you guys a question. Do you think distractions rule our days most of the time? Do you think little things, big things, whatever they are, do you think there are days in our life where we wake up the next morning and go, what did I do yesterday? You guys ever had those kind of moments? I have. Let me ask you this question. Do you remember what you did last week? Right? If I were to ask you if you got everything done last week you were supposed to get done, what would you say? Now, if you were my wife, she would go, I got everything done. I got my boxes checked and everything. She's that kind of girl, right? She keeps me in line. But if you're like me, I would say, you know what? I started out really good, but about middle of the week, some things just kind of came up. And I got distracted from what I needed to be doing. And maybe I got 3 or 4 boxes checked, but not all of them. But here's the deal. It might be something small. It might be something large. It might be a storm in your life. It could be anything. But the thing is, it gets us off our track, right? It gets us away from the things that are really important. It competes with the things that are really important in our lives. And I'm going to prove it by some one-word statements. Now, I'm going to say these things, and I want you to think about them when I say them, because a lot of times these things can really rule our life in a big way, okay? Here's the first one. It's the obvious one. It's COVID, right? And we think about that. That's a lot on our mind right now. Because many of you guys know people that have been affected by it. And it's a serious thing. We need to be careful with this virus, okay? Because they don't know what all it does and all those kind of things. But we also know people that have suffered with it. We know people that have died. I know people that have died. And we've had funerals because of that. But here's some other things that COVID affects. Your finances. Anybody have any financial things because of COVID, right? What about our families? You know, if you're like me, I've had to really get to know my wife all over again, right? Because we're in the house, right? All these things. And there could be some things going on in family that maybe we had to reconcile because of that. What about jobs? We know a lot of people that have lost their jobs. What about school? Now, I don't know about y'all, but there's a lot of people up in Arlington area, the moms and dads are going, oh my gosh, we got to homeschool now, right? And, you know, things like that happen, but we have to be ready for them. What about sports? Now, if you're like me, you're starting to meddle now, right? Because I love the Cowboys. And here's what it looks like. You know, honey, tell Brother Chris that I'll be there next week. Cowboys start at noon today, so I'm going to be watching the Cowboys, right? Now, to me, I'm like going, I used to do that, right? But now I'm on church staff. I have to be there at the church. No. But it's interesting. Things rule our day. What about the media? What about the news channels? What about social media? All right? What about social topics? What about abortion? What about gender? What about race? Right? A lot of things. And what about politics? Right? I know there's people in here today that talked about politics. Said something, this or that, whatever the case is. But you know, I guarantee you, and this is a fact, right? The Trumps, the Obamas, the Bushes, the Clintons, you name them, they can't change your heart, right? They can change your happiness, depending on what they rule, but they can't change your heart. They can't change the joy that you have in your life. We'll talk a little bit more about that in just a few minutes. What I want to talk about this morning is how to keep our focus with all the distractions that are going on in the world today, okay? This is a big deal because it's so easy for us to get distracted. Now, we're going to wrap this sermon this morning around Peter. And this is an amazing story. You guys have heard it 100 times, but it's very appropriate today and this morning. This is Peter walking on the water. It's a very powerful illustration of distracting, getting distracted. And you know, Peter lost his focus there for a minute, didn't he? You guys remember this? We'll read it here in just a minute. So you guys turn over to Matthew 14. As you're doing that, Jesus has just finished feeding the 5,000. Okay? Matthew 14, we're going to start with verse 22. So he just finishes feeding the 5,000, and this is what he says in verse 22. It says, immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountains to pray by himself, right? Now keep in mind, real quick, after feeding the 5,000, it said immediately, he said, hey guys, listen, you guys get in the boat, go across the sea, I'll meet you on the other side. Okay? Now they're thinking, hey, piece of cake, we've done this 100 times. So they get in the boat, they start over. Jesus says he dismisses the crowd, and then he goes up to the mountain to pray. What happens next? The Bible says storm comes, right? The storm comes. The Bible says that the disciples fought all night long, all morning long, against the wind, the rain, the storm, right? And can you imagine how exhausted they were, how tired they were? And you know that they were questioning the situation. They had to have been saying, God, listen, are we going to die? That's the first question I would have asked. Or maybe, what's the purpose in all this? Why are we having to go through this? What did we do wrong? Right? And you can hear them saying these kind of questions. Let me ask you this. Does that sound like us sometimes? When a storm hits our lives, do we question God? Do we ask these things like, God, am I going to die during this storm? Right? Why are you doing this? What am I going to get out of this? That's a question that Christians ask, right? That's where I go with it. We'll talk about that in just a second, too. But we're rocking along pretty good. We're obeying the Lord, and all of a sudden, a storm hits. Maybe a distraction comes up in your life, and maybe it's something small that gets you off the focus, right? Gets you off your focus. And immediately we ask, God, why are we going through these kind of things? And we get distracted and we lose our focus. Now, there are a couple of scriptures here that are mainstays in my life that I talk about, that I think about all the time when things like this happen. First one is Romans 8:28. We know this verse, right? We know this verse backwards and forwards. And this is what it basically says. I'm going to paraphrase a little bit, but it says that all things, God works for the good for those who love Him. There's a condition there that we see, right? Here's the next verse. And, you know, I counsel a lot of guys. And when they're going through some trials or something, I'll always go to James. And they're like going, oh, gosh, okay, here we go. James 1, right? Verse 2, it says, count it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Why? It's going to make us stronger. It's going to make us better. It's going to develop our perseverance in our life, right? This is very important. But sometimes it just doesn't make it any better for us, right? We can hear the words, but we're like going, man, emotionally, it's killing me. Maybe this is God just saying, listen, guys, I need to get your attention. I want to get you back on focus, okay? And maybe he's saying, listen, hey, Scott, you can do this, but just keep your eyes on me. There's a story about Yogi Berra. You guys ever hear that name before? He's an old baseball player for the New York Yankees. He played 40s, 50s, and 60s. He's got 10 World Series rings. I don't know anybody that's got more than that, right? But he was an amazing player, and he was the catcher. And one day they were playing the Milwaukee Braves. Let me go way back here for just a minute. Milwaukee Braves, this is before they were Atlanta Braves, and Hank Aaron was playing for this. And they were in the World Series, actually. And Yogi Berra was keeping his chatter going. He was a chatterbox behind the plate, trying to distract the batters, trying to pump up his teammates, right? Aaron comes to the plate. He starts jawboning it at Hank Aaron. He's the home run hitter of this, you know, you guys know who Hank Aaron is, right? But Hank Aaron comes to the plate. He tries to detract him by saying, hey, dude, you're holding your bat wrong. You got to be able to read the trademark on your bat when you swing. Well, Hank Aaron didn't say anything, and the next pitch, he hit a home run, okay? Well, he's rounding the bases. He tags home. Aaron looks at Yogi Berra and says, hey, dude, listen, I didn't come up here to read, okay? Now, here's the point of the story. Here's the point of the story. If Hank Aaron could say this, he would say, you got to keep your focus to be successful, right? And I just want to encourage you guys, next time a trial comes your way, a storm, distractions, whatever it is, you look at those and guys listen and say, listen, guys, I didn't come up here to read. Think about the story for just a minute. It's a good one. I think it's a good one. The other thing I'd like to do is imagine Jesus in the wilderness for just a minute. Okay? You guys remember this story, Jesus in the wilderness. How many days was he there? 40 days, right? He was there 40 days, 40 nights, and then Satan finally shows up, right? Can you imagine how tired he was, how hungry he was? Because he went through the same emotions we did, the same physical ailments that we did, right? Because he was hungry, he was starving, he was tired, all these things. But here's what Hebrews 4:15 says. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let me ask you a question. What makes us fall to distractions and temptations and not Jesus? His focus. Well, he was God, you know, there's that thing, right? But it was his focus. And what did he do to combat the temptations? He used Scripture. You remember this? He kept his focus. He knew that with God, all things were possible. He knew that with God, he was going to be able to withstand all the distractions that came his way. He knew that with God, he was going to be able to subdue Satan. Right? This is very critical. So he was there 40 days. Satan shows up, tries to distract him. And just something to remember, he was human. All right? And sometimes we as humans fall to distractions because we lose our focus. We don't go to the scriptures, we think about the problems. Does this make sense? I don't know if y'all struggle with that every day or not, but I do. These are some things. So, we all know that there are many distractions, and I've categorized them into three different areas. We're going to talk about them just briefly, and then we'll go to some, we'll talk about some things on how to combat these, okay? One of the things I want you to remember before we talk about them is this. The goal of the enemy is to knock our focus away from Jesus. That's the goal of the enemy, okay? Here's the first comparison. Here's the first one. Or this is the first one, actually. The first trial, or the first category of these, is comparison. Now, I don't know about you guys, but the one thing that I do occasionally is I compare myself to somebody else. You guys ever fall into that category? You guys ever compared yourself to somebody else? Have you? It's amazing. You know, we say that we don't sometimes, but we really do. We really do that. And what happens is we expose ourselves to a couple different things when we compare ourselves. The first one is pride. And this is how this works. Okay, I'm comparing myself to Joe over here. You know, I'm better than he is. I'm a better speaker than he is. I'm a better this or that. You get into the pride when you start comparing. The other thing it does, it also leads to low self-esteem. And what that means is, you know, I can never measure up to Joe. He speaks so eloquently. He always looks good. Always has a nice suit on. I like his shoes, man. I just don't have shoes like that. It's this comparison thing, right? Who do we compare ourselves to? Our friends. Our family. Right? We compare ourselves, you guys on Facebook or Twitter and all that, you guys do that? Maybe one or two of you. We end up comparing ourselves to different people's posts on Facebook. All right? It's very interesting how this works. But here's the deal. On our quest to gain more likes and more followers, we can miss out on God's unique plan in our lives. And we know that the bottom line is Jesus is our measuring stick, right? He is the one that we compare ourselves to. It's a big deal. Here's the second distraction. The cares of the world. You guys heard that before? Cares of the world. This is the parable of the sower. If you guys want to turn, you can. If you don't, this is one verse, Mark 4:19. This is what it says. This is the parable of the sower. It describes the different soils of a man's heart. Mark 4:19. This is what it says. It says, the one whom the seed was sown among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard the word, but the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of the riches, and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. Now, the cares here that we're talking about, the distractions, could be the day-to-day activities in our lives. These could be the important things, even our families, right? Our jobs, our ministries. There was a guy that I knew at one time, this has been many years ago, that he got so involved in ministry at church. He wasn't even on staff. He was just a lay person, lay guy, serving. And this is what he did. He got so wrapped up in his ministry that his marriage struggled, because he was there every chance the door was open at the church, all these kind of things. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. What I am saying is he lost his focus on what the important things were. Okay? Even though he was serving other people, he wasn't doing the first ministry, serving his wife. Okay? So there's a lot of things. So family could get in the way, ministry, all these things. What about the unhealthy things? Unhealthy relationships. What about wrong friends? Okay? One of the things growing up, my mom and dad always told me, You become who you hang around. Right? You guys heard that before, right? You become who you hang around. Wrong friends. What about wrong boyfriends, wrong girlfriends? Right? Maybe the cares of the world are questions rolling around in your mind. Is this all there is in the world? With this COVID thing, maybe it's, is this the end of the world? Is Jesus coming back soon, right? And we get distracted about certain things and we lose our focus about what's important today, right? One of the most important questions I ask 5 times a day, and I've already told you, is I say, honey, where's my phone at, right? The more important questions of the day, right? But here's the important thing. Here's the interesting thing. In August 2018, research from a UK telecom company reported that people check their smartphones on the average of every 12 minutes during their waking hours. It's probably more now, right? With 71% saying they never turn their phones off, and 40% saying they check them within 5 minutes of waking. Okay? Both Facebook and Instagram announced they were developing new tools designed to limit usage in response to claims that excessive social media can have a negative impact on mental health. Now, I don't know about you guys, but there's probably a lot of crazy people walking around right now, if that's the case. Right? But what's interesting is it can consume us if we're not careful. It can fill our day up with just stuff. And I have proven this, and I've kind of got off Facebook a little bit, just taking a little bit of a break from it. We are on it because we like to watch people, right? We like to see what's going on in their lives. But it's interesting. You start looking at Facebook or Twitter or these social media platforms, and you look up, and it's been 2 hours, right? And you're like going, where did the day go? And we can get distracted very easily with that, okay? The truth is, guys, if we don't let God control our day, the day will control us. We know that. We know that. And isn't that what Satan wants? Isn't that what Satan wants? Here's the third one, last one, and this is the big one. This is when a crisis comes. This is when the storm comes. Let's jump back with Peter just for a minute back in Matthew 14. Okay, we'll start back in there. This is what it says, verse 24. It says, they were beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them, and in the fourth watch of the night, again, early morning hours, he came to them. And this is what I want you to see. Jesus was secluded praying, right? Praying on the mountain. He knew the disciples were over here in the storm. All things were going on. He knew this was going to happen, right? He was watching over his disciples during this time, even while he was away. And he wasn't going to let anything happen to them. And this is what it says. And then he came to them. And then he came to them. What I want you guys to know today, and you already know this, and for me to know, it doesn't matter the trials that we face in our life. It doesn't matter the distractions that happen in our lives. God is always with us. He is always with us. He knows us. He sees us. He cares about us. And the little voice you hear in your head that says he's not there is your enemy. It is your enemy. Okay? Here's the key thing I want you to know about storms. They're not meant to hurt us. They're not meant to kill us. They are meant to make us stronger. Okay? I hope that makes sense. Let's keep going. Look in verse 25. It says, he came to them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, it's a ghost. Now, they weren't expecting Jesus to show up like that, right? He was going to meet them on the other side. And they cried out in fear. It says, but immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid. Peter said to him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And he said, come. And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. Now, something to remember right now at this point, Peter is completely focused on Jesus. His gaze is right there. His focus is completely on the right things, right? But then look what happens. Look in verse 30. It says, but seeing the wind, looking at the storm, right? He became frightened and began to sink, and he cried out, Lord, save me. Now, again, Peter gets out of the boat. Everything's happening. Everything's working out right. He's got his focus on Jesus. But then what happened? He started looking at the storm. He started noticing the wind and the waves and all the things that were going on around him. And they were problematic, right? You guys know who Emmett Smith is? Dallas Cowboy Emmett Smith? One of the things that I think about when I think about him is when he gets the ball, he looks at the hole, and the thing is, he keeps his eye on the on making a touchdown. He keeps his eye on the goal line. If he starts looking at the defenders, he's done, right? If he starts looking at all the obstacles, he's done. But what he does is he looks straight ahead and he does this. And that's what we need to do in our lives. When the obstacles come, when the distractions come, when the storms of life comes, yes, we need to deal with these things. But at the same time, we need to keep our eye on the prize. We need to keep going and stay focused on Jesus. Yes, the fact of the matter is Peter lost his focus, and his gaze was taken away from Jesus. How many times have we done that? How many times have we been rocking along pretty good, things going our way, and then all of a sudden we take our gaze off of Jesus? We take our gaze away from the Word. We take our gaze away from the things that make us strong. Look in verse 31. It says, immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, took hold of him, and said to him, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Now here comes a question. Have you ever heard that before? Right? This is what it looks like in my life. Whenever I'm rocking along pretty good and a storm comes or a distraction comes, this is what I say. God, listen, I got this. I'm on the ground here. I see things. I know my life better than you do. I got this. And this is what I do. I become Mr. Fix-It. I work out the 7-step plan. I got it all lined out. I'm ready to go, right? But this is what God's saying. Scott, just hold on for just a minute, okay? Hold on. You don't have this. He's saying, I'm allowing this storm in your life for a purpose. And he's saying, it's for my purpose. It's for my glory, not your glory. See, when we try to do it ourselves, we think we're the man. When God might be allowing this storm in our lives for a reason, right? And we need to look at it that way. So, let's shift for just a minute. Let's focus on how to keep our focus. Let's focus on what we can do when distractions come our way, even in the storms, even in the things that distract us and take us away from Jesus. And this is what I want to talk about here on this little board. I'm going to draw it out for you. I'm going to try to describe to you how to maintain a strong life core. Okay? This is a big word, and we're going to talk about it in just a minute. If you guys heard before, you got to keep your core strong. Your core. My son is a personal trainer. And I don't know why he brings it up every time he sees me, but he goes, Dad, you got to keep your core strong, dude. You got to keep your core strong. And what that means is I've got to keep my muscles in the middle of my body strong because it helps my whole body be strong. That's just kind of the way it is. And what it does is it stabilizes the whole body. So if you've got a strong core, you're going to stabilize your whole body. Now, what I want to do is this. This is called a life core. Okay? And this is going to represent your life core. Inside of this circle are things that are most important to you. The things that are non-negotiable in your life. The things that you just cannot live without. You don't want to live without. Okay? And I'm going to ask you to think about two or three things in your life that might fit into this circle. Okay? Now, I'm going to do mine just to give you an example. The first thing is God. Okay? God is the most important thing in my life. And I know He is to you too. He goes in my life core. He is a non-negotiable in my life. Second thing, many of you guys probably thought I was going to say car, but that's not the case, right? My wife. Now, we've been married 35 years, and it's been great, even from day one, right? We've had our ups and downs, but it's been great. The third thing, family. And then you can go on from here, but I've got some character traits like integrity, character, these kind of things, right? But these things are non-negotiable for me. These things I do not ever want to live without, and I can't live without. Now, the things on the outside of the circle are resources, okay? These are things that can be replaced. These are some of the things we've talked about today, this morning, the distractions in your life, okay? We're talking about money. We're talking about, let me just get my list out here so I can make sure. We're talking about sports, right? We're talking about self. You know, one of the biggest problems in marriage is selfishness, right? Selfishness, being self, about self. The cares of the world. Talked about that. What about politics? You know, any of these things. Any of these things that can be replaced in your life. I'll stop there. Insecurities real quick. Insecurities. Okay? Now, you might have your own. There's probably, we could probably list 1,000 things out here. Now, here's the problem. When your resources penetrate your core, your life core, there's a problem. This means that you've lost your focus on what's important in your life. Because you've already established the fact that God, you're in whatever else in here, is the most important thing. You base your decisions in your life on what's in here. Let me give you a quick example. Let's say I want to go out and buy another new truck. And you know, these trucks these days, they cost anywhere from $50,000 to $80,000, right? I mean, my first house was $50,000, right? So here you go. So I'm going to go out and buy a new truck. But here's the process. Here's the question that you must ask before you do anything. How is it going to affect my relationship with God? How is it going to affect my relationship with my wife? How is it going to affect my relationship with my family? Or with any other things that I've listed here, right? If this big old payment I'm going to have every month on my car is going to affect our finances, then I need to rethink the process. Okay? If the Cowboys get in the way of God, of my family, my wife, there's a problem. Right? These are distractions. These are things, and some of these could be good. You know, I love watching the Cowboys. I love, you know, some of the things, talking about some of these other things. But when they get in the way, they become a distraction. All right? I hope that makes sense to you. So really the biggest thing that we need to take from this is to build your life core, make all your decisions based on what's in here, not what's out here. Okay? Because all this stuff can be replaced, this can't. Make sense? Okay. All right. Enough of the teaching thing going on. But here's the simple fact. Storms will come. Distractions will come. And we can't be surprised by them. We cannot be surprised by them. The Bible says that we need to be ready for anything that comes our way. We need to be ready for it. Jesus was ready for Satan to tempt him because he used Scripture. He was ready. He was on guard First Peter talks about that. Second Peter talks about that, that we need to be ready for things, right? We need to be ready for things to come our way. Now, what I want to do real quick is I want to talk about Paul. I'm going to talk about Paul just briefly. Now, in Philippians 4, these are some of my life verses that we're going to kind of go through real quick. Philippians 4, 4 through 8. Many of you know what these are going to say. But Paul was in prison when he was writing this. He was being persecuted. He was being distracted, right? This was a storm in his life. He was in prison, right? These were things that were Satan was trying to knock him off, but at the same time, God was using this in a big way because Paul was able to write all the letters, or most of the letters from the prison. Here's what he says, and keep in mind that Paul is instructing the Philippians on how to stay strong, how to keep their focus. And this is what he says starting in verse 4. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." Now there's four things in these verses. This is the first one. We need to be joyful. Okay? He didn't say we need to be happy-ful, right? God doesn't tell us we're going to be happy all the time. But guys, let me just tell you this. If we have Jesus in our heart and we know we're going to heaven one of these days, we can always be joyful, right? Even in the middle of the storms, even when distractions happen, it doesn't matter. If we keep our focus, we know that we can be joyful. Then he goes on to verse 5, he says, "Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand." Here's number 2. God is always with us. So we can be joyful in the storms. God is always with us. All right? And then verse 6, it goes on. He says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Now here's a couple of things here. Here's number 3, is prayer. It says we need to pray with supplication, and we need to be praying. Now, here's the thing about prayer, and you guys know this. This is the way we communicate with God. Okay? This is the way we communicate with God. To a Christian, a growing Christian, somebody that's maturing, this should be as natural as breathing. Now, we don't think about breathing. We just breathe, right? Now, guys, I don't know about y'all, but I've gotten to the point in my life, and I'm an older guy, that when things happen in my life, I've created this habit, which is a good one, that I go straight to God first. I start praying. And maybe the words, I don't know what the words are, but the first 2 words is, "Oh God," you know? And then I start praying because I know that that's where my strength is. I know that's where my strength is, all right? It also kind of activates and lines us up with the Spirit of God. The 4th thing he talks about in there, after prayer, he talks about with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. It's a little bit harder. We'll talk about that in just a minute. But here's the result. He says, "And the peace," something that we all want of God, this is of God, "will surpass all understanding, which will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Let me read that one more time. "Because you're doing these things, you're being joyful, you're praying with thanksgiving, you find the peace of joy in your life. And it surpasses all understanding and guards your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." A couple of side notes real quick. Talking about guarding your mind and your heart, right? Did you know that the mind is the gateway to your heart? Did you know that this is where the battleground is? It is. It really is. Everything starts here. Everything that happens out here, the words people say, the things that happen, anything, it goes through the mind because we look at it and we perceive it a certain way. And the question, and this is interesting, 2 Corinthians 10:5 says that we need to take every thought captive. So when we see things and hear things, comes into our mind, we need to ask ourselves, is this truth or is this a false statement? Is this truth or is this a lie? And that's how we take their thoughts captive, right? Whatever we allow goes to our hearts. We need to make sure that we're letting the truth come down. Here's the second side note. He talks about how are we thankful during the storm, right? Let me just say this real quick, and I want you to hear me on this. When you bring thankfulness to a storm or to a crisis, it releases the power the crisis has on you. I'm going to illustrate it by this. Anybody ever struggle with unforgiveness? Okay, I have. Nobody's going in. Okay. Through my life, I know there have been times where I've struggled with unforgiveness. Now, in order to forgive, it's a choice. It's not a feeling. If we waited till we felt like it, we would never do it, right? But it is a choice. It is a choice. And so when we do that, when we choose to forgive, bitterness, anger, resentment, all that goes away. And this allows the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, to guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Does this make sense? Okay? All right. This is very interesting. When you bring thankfulness to a crisis, it releases the power the crisis has on you. And look at verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, let us think about these things. Let us focus on these things. Okay, Scott, look, you don't know me. My husband or my wife just walked out on me this past week. You don't know me. I lost a loved one because of this virus. I lost my job this last week. There are hard things in life, guys. There are hard things. But here's one thing that makes it very clear. Hebrews 12, this is what it says, verse 2. That we need to keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Yes? Right? In verse 3 it says, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Here's the cool thing about the gospel. Here's the cool thing about God's word. They tell us to do one thing, whether it's Paul, it's all about God, right? God's telling us this. But there's always a result behind it. If we do these things, this will happen. If we keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, we will not grow weary or faint-hearted. This is good news in the middle of a storm. This is good news when distraction happens in our life and we get off the beaten path. This is good news. So you might also be saying this morning. Scott, listen, I've read this story about Peter 1,000 times, right? I know that I need to pray. I know that I need to give thanks. But how do I keep the distractions away from me? How do I keep the distractions from taking over my life every single day? Well, first things first, it's a choice. It's a choice. It comes down to a choice. The enemy only has power in your life because we give him that power. The distraction, the storm, all these things only have power in our life because we give that power to them. Does this make sense? Okay? Because we have taken our focus away from the main thing. Okay? I don't know how many times that I've tried to walk through a storm or some kind of distraction on my own. And it never fails that God, probably 3/4 of the way through it or whatever, he gets my attention finally and says, listen, Scott, you can't do it on your own. And that's when I go, God, you're right. I can't do it on my own. Did you know it's a choice for us to ask Jesus into our heart too? It's our choice to accept that power that comes through him. It's our choice to live this life of obedience with the Word of God. It's our choice to let the Holy Spirit guide us every day. and maintain this strong life core. It's our choice. And ladies and gentlemen, it's in order to be successful in this life, we have to have something or someone inside of us that is stronger than anything in this world. We have to have that. 1 John 4:4 says this, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world." We have to have something stronger in us. And this is the God of the universe. This is the God that created the universe that lives in us through his Spirit. Right? You know, true satisfaction only comes when we focus and we fill our hearts with the things of God. True focus, true satisfaction only comes when we fill ourselves with the things of God. And what we focus on wins. Let's pray. God, we love you so much. We are just so in awe by you. We know that we have struggles in our life every day. We know we have distractions. We know we have challenges. We know we have storms that just overpower us sometimes. But God, we know if we keep our focus on you, if we let you rule our lives and not us, Father, we know we can get through them. It doesn't matter what they are. It doesn't matter how strong they are. We know that we can get through those. We know that with Jesus living in our heart through his Spirit, God, we know that we have the power that created this universe. God, we have you in our hearts. We know that we can withstand those temptations. And Father, thank you for everyone in this room right now, everyone that's watching. Father, we just pray in a special way. We know that everybody struggles with something. We know that many are struggling with something right this minute. And Father, I just pray that you would show up in their lives. I pray, God, that you would impress upon them, help them to feel your Spirit, help them to know that you're with them and that you're going to walk them through this. And God, on the other side of this, they are going to be so much stronger. They're going to know that the power came from you, and they're going to give you the glory and the honor. And Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for his salvation. Thank you for the things he has done for us. And God, thank you for allowing us to be able to go to heaven one of these days when you come and get us. We love you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.